Let's pray. Lord God, we just desperately want to hear your word today. We want to hear your word that will just inspire in us and rekindle a passion for your name. The name which is higher than every other name. The name which has all authority in heaven and on earth. The name that declares the Spirit of God upon us as the people of God to move with power. Lord God, we pray now we would hear your word. And Lord, I pray you just take my mouth, Lord, and you put in it now the words that you want to say, whether it's in the notes or not. Come, Lord Jesus. So we've been looking at this idea of being clothed in righteousness, using the Jewish prayer shawl as our kind of metaphor for looking at our lives in Jesus. We started with Samuel about his cloak, which would have looked similar, something like this, about how his cloak had come to represent for him something of his messed up childhood. It represented his mother issues. And actually, we need to think about, what are we wearing? What cloak? What do we cover ourselves in? What is it that we wear? What's the label? What's the robe that we put on? Which maybe actually isn't the identity that God says, that's your identity. We need to put on a new identity. And about how the Jewish prayer shawl is a symbol of the law of God, the righteousness of God. And when you cover yourself with it, you're saying, I create a small tabernacle, a small meeting place between me and God. That when you're clothed in righteousness, it's in that place that you can encounter God face to face. And in so doing, you find you have an identity as a child of God who enters into the promises of God, who is a co-heir with Christ, which means what is true for Jesus is true for you. And we looked at how the symbol of the corner of the cloak covering us is a symbol of being brought into covenant relationship with God. And we looked at the story of Ruth and Boaz, and how Boaz is a foreshadowing of Jesus, someone who redeems people, the Redeemer, who covers us with his identity, with his cloak. And last week we looked at how the corners of this prayer shawl, it represented the authority of a king and a priest. And we looked at how about that, if we go on the slides, move on a bit, next one, about how we are a chosen people, it says in Peter's epistle. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, about how we are kings and priests. That priests have the authority to walk into the presence of God, to approach God. And how kings have the authority to hold land, to take ground. They have the ability to administer the justice of the kingdom. And that when we become a Christian, when we enter into covenant relationship where God wraps his cloak around us, the corner of his garment, we enter into covenant relationship, we have an authority that we stand in that comes from Jesus. Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. And he says that when you're in covenant relationship with me, you can ask me anything and I'll do it for you. We have the authority of Jesus in our life. We have the authority to enter the presence of God, and we have the authority to take ground for the kingdom of God. You are chosen, you are special. You're not an accident. God has chosen you from before all time to be someone who is held with royal regard, someone who has access to the throne of heaven. And that's what God wants for all people. So when you go out into the world, you represent someone who is chosen, and you represent the authority of a king and a priest to declare that the ground is being taken for the kingdom of God. That where there is darkness, we declare light. That where people don't know Jesus, we say, as a priest, let me take you into the presence of God. So we have both identity with Jesus, and we have an authority that comes from Jesus. And today we want to look at the next bit of this, which is the fact that we have power that comes from Jesus. We're going to turn to the Gospels, and in Luke and in Matthew, there's a story that you might have heard. It's a very familiar story. It's the woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Let me read it to us from Matthew's Gospel. Okay, it's shorter. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed in that moment. She recognized something to be true, that when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, something was going to happen. And if we go back to Luke's Gospel and read it in Luke's Gospel, it says this. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling, and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This woman knew something about the corner and the edge of Jesus' garment. She knew that if she could just reach out and touch it, there was power to transform her life. You see, because the corner and the tassels on this prayer shawl don't just represent authority of a king and a priest. It represents the power of God. It represents the power of God in our lives. So you have authority, but there's also power. Jesus said, when she touched the hem of his garment, which means, in the Greek, it's about the tassel. This tassel on the end here. It wasn't just like a random bit of the garment. It was the tassel, which speaks of the authority of God, and it speaks about the power of God. She touched the authority and power of Jesus, and she was instantaneously transformed. Something that no one else could satisfy, something that no one else could heal, instantly when she met Jesus and she, in faith, touched the hem of his garment, power was released. You see, the reason why this is important is because the Jewish people knew what it meant to touch the hem and the garment of the Son of Righteousness. So if you go into Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 14, there's a story there where the people come out crying to Jesus saying, "Can we just touch the hem of your garment?" Why are they so desperate to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? Surely they want him to touch them. We see, if you go to Micah 4, 2. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stalls." You see, because the word for tassel in Hebrew, kanaf is the Hebrew, that word means wing. And it means tassel. It means the extremities. It means the corners. It's saying that when righteousness comes and when it dawns in the extremities, in the tassels, in the authority and in the power, that's where there's healing. That healing takes place under the authority and power of the one who's coming, who is righteous. That's why they were eager to reach out and touch the hem of his garments, to touch the corner, to touch the kanaf. Because the kanaf represented the power and authority. And so if you read that verse in Micah, and rather than saying healing in his wings, you say that there is healing in his power and in his authority. That's what she was reaching out for, because she knew that it was in that place that there was the power and the authority to be transformed. And if you go through the Old Testament, and you look at this word kanaf and how it's used. So it's the word for wing, it's the word for the extremities, the end of something, it's the word for tassel or fringe. But you see it in Ruth, when we talked about the idea of the corner of Boaz's garment. And it says in Ruth 2:12, Boaz says to Ruth, saying, "You're going to have the favor of God over you. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge." Under whose wing, or under whose power and authority you have taken refuge. When you look at the Psalms, and you see about how it says, like in Psalm 57 verse 1, it says, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until disaster has passed." It's saying God's got a big wing, but it might be saying that. It's saying, what it's trying to get to, it's saying that you take refuge in the power and the authority of God. That's where you find your deliverance. It's not God sort of saying, there. It's God saying, the whole of the authority of heaven, the whole of the power of heaven is guarding you and clothing you. That's a pretty amazing statement the psalmist is making. He's not saying, it's a nice metaphor, isn't it? He'll shadow you under his wing. He's saying, the whole of heaven is guarding you. Wow. When you go to Psalm 63 verse 7, it says, "Because you are my help, I sing under the shadow of your wings," i.e. under the shadow of your power and your authority. Like we started this morning by singing about the power of God, the power of Jesus, we're saying we find refuge, we find rejoicing under his power and his authority. Because he has all power and all authority. He is able. And we looked a few weeks ago at the verse from Ezekiel 16 verse 8 where it says, God says, "When I looked at you and saw you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into covenant relationship with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine." That word, therefore, the corner of my garment, that corner word, is the word kanaf, or wing. God is saying, making a really important point here, that what he's covering us in, what he's clothing us in, is his power and his authority. So when you take his promises from the Bible, it's not like a nice metaphor of like, no. It has power. It has a truth to it that we need to get our heads around because it's incredibly awesome. That God is saying that you are clothed in all of the authority and power of heaven. That's for all of us. That is pretty staggering. Why is this important? Well, last week I talked about the idea of authority of a policeman. Do you remember that last week? I was saying about how a policeman doesn't have any authority of his own. He says, "Stop, in the name of the law." His authority comes from wearing the uniform and having the badge of a police officer. What he's clothed in gives him the authority and the right to say, "In the name of the law." He has no authority, but he's given that authority. He's clothed in that authority. In the same way that as Christians, we have no authority of our own. But Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore go." What he's saying is, you are now clothed in my authority, therefore you can declare things in the name of Jesus. But you see, you have to have both authority and power. Because if you're a police officer and a car's coming towards you and you say, "Stop, in the name of the law," you have the authority to say that. But you have no power to stop an oncoming car coming towards you. But the police officer does have a radio, which means he can call for backup. He has the power of the entire police department. He can call in helicopters. He can call in squad cars. He can call in firearms experts if he needs to. And that's like us as Christians. Is that God's given us both power and authority. That we are covered by a covenant relationship, the corner of his garment, which is his power and his authority. And like that police officer, when he's wearing his uniform, he has the ability to say, "Stop, in the name of the law," and he has the resources of the entire police department, the power of all of that, to come and bring about what he's declaring. So as Christians, when we come to God in prayer, We come with the authority Jesus has given us. We're clothed in righteousness. We have that uniform to declare authority. And when we go into our tabernacle, that intimate meeting point between us and God, as we talked about before, if we go to the next slide, I think it might be, that you enter into the whole resources of heaven. Remember we talked about the idea of going into your tabernacle? And that in that place, that word for room there in the Greek means treasury or storehouse. I said about how I see heaven like this, like an Amazon warehouse full of gifts ready to be given. So you have the authority given to you by Jesus, and he says, you can come to me in prayer, and you can come in, enter into the entire treasury of heaven, that all the power of heaven is available to you. Are you getting this? You have both authority and the power to back up that authority. So when we come as a Christian and we're praying for people who are sick, when we're praying for things in our lives, we don't do it on this kind of long extended arm of kind of go, Lord, please, if you wouldn't mind, it'd be really great if you could. No. We pray with authority. We say, as a child of God, clothed in righteousness, I have the authority to declare over this situation in the name of Jesus, and I bring a call upon the entire storehouse of heaven and all the power of heaven into this situation. See the difference? Please, Lord, declare it. We declare it. And that's what often why our prayer life is so pants. Because we're coming to God with wussy prayers that have no power and no authority to them. And the enemy just laughs at us and goes, because we haven't got and grasped this is crucial to the understanding of being sent out. We'll look at this next week about what it means for us being sent out. Because Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me for you to go. He then says, you will receive power when my Spirit comes upon you. And he says, don't do anything until my power comes upon you. Until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Until I live in you. And so as a Christian, we have to get our heads around this fact. That the power and authority of heaven is in you. That is staggering and incredible. That you're not just kind of like a, oh. You have the power and authority of heaven. So when you're in work, when in the situations you're in, you have the power and authority of heaven because you're clothed in righteousness, because your identity is a child of God. We need to get this. This is exciting. And so if you came to the prayer training day, we talked a lot about this, about having power and authority. Because it's in understanding that mentality that we will see people getting healed. It will give power to our prayer life. And it's prayer that underpins everything that we do. And the reason why we find prayer so hard is we don't believe it has any power. We don't believe it has any authority. We do it out of duty and obligation, thinking we probably ought to do this, rather than saying, actually, when I pray in this situation, it will have an effect. I love what Carol said. I asked God to use me to bring someone to faith. And then God did it. It starts, though, with us saying, God, actually, I believe that when I ask you something, it's going to happen. Not a, Lord, if you wouldn't mind, please, it'd be lovely if you could. That has no power to it. No power to it. You see, it says in the NIV version of that Micah passage, it says, but for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. It's the same word, kanaf, but it's translated here, the rays, the extremities of the sun, the rays of the sun. What it's saying is, there is healing when you encounter the power of the light of God in your life. When you recognize that you are filled with the light of God, and that wherever you go, you take that light. That Jesus lives in you. He's not up there, he's in you by his Spirit. That's amazing. Absolutely incredible. And when we go back to what we taught well over a year ago now, the first Sunday back after Christmas last year, we looked at a verse from Romans, chapter 13. And it says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." There's power in the rays. There's power in the light. And God says you are clothed with that light, and you have the authority to declare things in the power of that light. So Paul is saying, put aside the things of darkness, put aside your old life, and wake up to the fact that you are clothed in the armor of light, that you are clothed in the Son of Righteousness, that you are clothed in that light which has power and authority. That's enough. It should be enough to get you out of bed in the mornings, when you realize that you have power and authority to go out and change this world. We have to have an action, though, of this. Repentance. Take off the deeds of darkness. Take off your night clothes and put on the armor of light. And I love the fact he uses the word armor of light there. He's saying it's not just kind of like a happy woohoo, isn't it wonderful now? It's saying you're preparing yourself for a battlefield. You're preparing yourself to go out to transform this world, and it's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be pretty, but it's a battle. But you stand in the armor of light, under the banner of righteousness. And it says in Ephesians that the sword of the Spirit is prayer. Why is prayer so powerful? Because when you enter into that tabernacle, that intimate place, in the authority of being a child of God, you have the whole resource of heaven. So the reason why it says about keep praying, pray constantly, why? Because it's saying Satan is terrified when the church prays. Because what we're doing is we're declaring and opening up the whole resource of heaven against the kingdom of darkness. Wow. Wow. That is pretty incredible. That through prayer we have the ability to call upon the whole of heaven. We need to be a people who are passionate about this understanding. I have had so many people say to me, "Pete, we love your passion." Do you know why I'm passionate? Because I believe this. I believe this to be true. I believe that I have the power and authority to pray and see the world transformed. I truly believe that, and that's why I'm excited about being a Christian. And I know it's hard, and it's a battle, but remember when Steve stood here, putting on all his hockey gear, and he says, when you're armoured up, you're fearless. Put on the armour of light. Be fearless. Why be fearless? Because you're clothed in the righteousness of God, which means you have power and authority. And when we get that truth, the enemy freaks out. Because that's how Jesus ministers. He ministers in power and authority, and the demons flee. The demons quake. They're going, "Leave us alone, Jesus." When was the last time a demon came up to you and went, "I'm scared of you"? See, people say to me all the time, "Pete, you're so passionate. We love your passion." Great. But are you passionate? Where's your passion? Because it's not enough for me to be passionate for this church. We've all got to be passionate for what God's doing in this church. It's for all of us. So next time you go, "Oh, we love Pete's passion," I should have the question, "Well, am I passionate? What's wrong with my passion?" Because sometimes it feels a bit lonely up here being passionate. We've got to get this truth. See, Christ lives in you. And that's an awesome truth. We forget this. God lives in you. That where you go, God's going. God is with you wherever you go. You see, you've got to get the power of God back in your life. There's a story in Acts about the seven sons of Sceva. And they're there in Acts, and they're saying, they're trying to do what the apostles are doing. And they say, they try to cast out demons. And they say, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of this person. And the demons turn around to them and say, we've heard of Jesus and we've heard of Paul, but who are you? But who are you? See, they were doing the motions, but they didn't have the authority or the power of God because they weren't in the family of God. They weren't identifying as children of God, so they had no power and authority. They were just using the name of Jesus and hoping that was enough. It's like me standing in the road saying, stop in the name of the law, and them going, you're not a police officer. Where's your power? Where's your authority? I haven't got any. The sons of Sceva were trying to copy the apostles without realizing that the reason they had power and authority was because they were in the family of God. So they had the power and authority of Jesus because of that. Now flip to Matthew 7, when Jesus says, not all those who cry, Lord, Lord, on the day of judgment will be saved. And they'll say, we cast out demons in your name. We did amazing things in your name. We prophesied in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. He's saying, you went through the motions. You thought you could use the authority of Jesus, but you never knew me. Because the power and authority of Jesus comes from our relationship with the Father, where we find identity as a child of God. All of power and authority that we have as Christians stems from God's love. Stems from relationship with Him. And so if your relationship with God today isn't good, you've got to sort that out before you can have power and authority. And again, the reason why a lot of us don't have power and authority is because our relationship with God is pretty rubbish. We've got to get that right. We've got to be in relationship with God, and then the promises of God become true for us, and we have power and authority. How is your relationship with Jesus today? Because it's out of that relationship with Jesus that you'll start seeing amazing things happen. And the more you fall in love with Jesus, the more power and authority you have. You see, we can run church on Sunday morning, great. We can run kids groups during the week, great. We can run all sorts of activities. But I don't want to get to heaven and God go, you ran a good kids group in my name, but I never knew you. That's the danger. We end up trying to do things to please Jesus, and Jesus is saying, all I want is your heart. You know, as a church, we could do nothing else but come here and worship Jesus day after day, and that would be enough for Jesus. Because He's after our heart primarily. There's other things that are good, yes. But it's not what it's about. It's about our heart with Jesus. Let's not use the excuse of being missional at the expense of our relationship with God being strong and being rooted in love. As we've read before, it says in Ephesians that when you're rooted and established in love, then you know the power of Christ in you to change the world. Where's your relationship? It says in that Romans passage, wake up. Stop messing about. Wake up. Put on this armor of light. It's time to get going. It's time for the battle. It's time to start moving out. And as a church, we've got to start taking seriously our gospel call. Because one day, we're all going to stand before Jesus, and He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with my power and my authority? What did you do? Are you going to go, oh, well, or are you going to go, I recognize your power and authority, Jesus, and I went and changed the world? We've got to take it seriously. This is not a laughing matter. This is not a joke. This is not a kind of like a, oh. This is a matter of one day you and I will stand before Jesus and He will say, what did you do with the talents that I gave you? What are you going to say to Him? Well, to be honest, I couldn't really be bothered. I didn't really believe it, actually. I sort of just wanted to be in heaven. That's not good enough. If you can stand before Jesus and say that, you're a braver person than I am. But I want to go, wow, I have been given this gift of power and authority. I'm clothed in righteousness. And wow, I just want to change this world for Jesus. I want to live this kingdom life. And it's like a battle. It's not easy. It's difficult. And as we try and step into these things, it will be hard work. The enemy will not like it. Because as soon as we start waking up, the enemy gets terrified. And their counterattack comes. But church, we've got to wake up. We've got to put on new clothes of light and start living this life for Him. And it starts with repentance and saying, God, I'm sorry, I've let it slide. I'm sorry, I let my passion slide. This morning I woke up and said to God, I'm just sorry, God, for where I've just let my passion slide. Just fill me afresh, God. And what I want to do now as a pastor of this church, I want to pray over us a prayer of deliverance and breaking the power of the enemy over us as a church. For too long, this church has had a history which is not of God. And I was going to pray and we will break it in Jesus' name, because it's time to move out from where we are. It's time to stand as children of light and see this gospel go forth. Let's pray together. In the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, we command Satan and all evil spirits to release this church, Yardley Baptist Church, the family of your church here, Lord God. Release it, we pray, in order that we can be free to know and choose to do the will of God. As children of God, seated with Christ in the heavenly places, we agree that every enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ be bound and be silent. We say to Satan and to all the evil workers that you cannot inflict any pain or any way that will prevent God's will from being accomplished in Yardley Baptist Church, the family of God here in Yardley. Because we belong to God and the evil one cannot touch us. So in the name of Jesus, I declare a breaking to what has held us back as a church. I declare a breaking over everyone's lives here where there are things where the enemy is trying to have a foothold. We break it in the name of Jesus. And we declare that we are children who stand in the armor of light and the enemy has no place amongst our lives. Holy Spirit, come in power and fill us afresh in this place, we pray.